So about 5 weeks ago, when I got the email that I was going to be doing a talk, Shindo and I walked up to the corner, CVS or something. So on the way back, he asked me, "Well, are you talking this time?" I go, yeah, I'm talking, yeah." And he said, "Well, which one?" I said, "Well, it's the existence of all Buddhas." And he says, "Great. Here's what you do. We figured it out. We go, okay, existence of all Buddhas. Okay, just look around you. End of talk. Any questions?" I have a couple of questions. First of all, do we really believe that? I mean, really believe that? And if I really believe that, why is it so difficult to act like it? I've heard it said over the years, maybe from several different sources concerning when you're studying Buddhism or doing Buddhist practice. You're never told anything that you wouldn't be able to verify for yourself eventually. And if you can't verify it now, and if you can't say yes, put it aside and just say, "I don't know." Because if you, as soon as you say no, if it's an infinite, this is a little trick I use for myself. It's like, if it's an infinite universe, as soon as you say no, it's not infinite anymore. You put a boundary on it. If you say this doesn't exist, it's not infinite anymore. So "I don't know" is good. That common sense, that it doesn't make sense to my common sense. Just don't reject it. "I don't know." I'll tell a little story. Years ago, when I first started it was at UCLA, and I think it was during the Ongo, and I had dropped in for a day or two, or a period, or block, or whatever. I would drop in, and I was still pretty new there. And I guess it was during a break, and I was sitting in the Sangha house, and I was all by myself. There was nobody around, and two guys come in. And I believe it was Doman and Daiken. So they come in and they're having some kind of conversation. I'm just kind of off to the side there because I kind of knew him, but I didn't really know him. And Yogan comes down the stairs, and they start in this conversation. And I don't remember the gist of the conversation except for the fact that I'm sitting there and I'm going like, "This is kind of over my head, and I'm not quite sure if I should be listening in on this even. And maybe I should just kind of discreetly get up and leave." But then I thought, "Well, wait a minute, I was here first. They see me sitting here, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da, I'm debating." And where my memory picks up on it is, I think it was Daiken asked something like, "Well, do bodhisattvas exist? I mean, do they exist?" And Yogan said, his reply was, "Well, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas exist in real space and time, but I don't talk about it because people are just going to trip out, just going to trip on it." So I was relieved to hear that, but of course, I immediately started to trip out on that. So here's my confession. I am a closet idol worshiper. I just love it. I'm just kidding, but kind of not. Oh, yeah. Well, actually, they're in boxes in the back room. They haven't been installed yet. Just, I'm biding my time. They're going to be sprouting up everywhere. But this has always kind of been my thing ever since I was a kid. I've always been looking for salvation from something outside of myself. God, Buddha, a Zen teacher, a partner, a job, a new pair of shoes, whatever, you fill in the blank. Something out there is going to make it better, always. I mean, it's just always been my thing, and it's just, it's still something that I just slip back into so easily, you know. And the funny thing is, in those rare times, I mean, like at the end of a ongo or something where things can be kind of clear, a little bit more clear, that's when doing something devotional is the least problem. That's when, exactly when it is no problem. It's well, that's hard to explain. It was a Shusa Hosen a few years ago, and it was, I think it was Joshin's, and Mason was here, and she was pregnant with Georgia. And that part where we go downstairs, we used to have everybody stand up for that whole time. So she's standing there, and she starts to feel faint. So we're down there, and she comes down the stairs, and she kind of does this swan thing on the sofa. Big drama, paramedics are called, okay, they come up the stairs with a stretcher, they take Mason away. And a couple hours later, she came back here, Ed brought her back here, and she was talking about a conversation she had with one of the paramedics. And I guess he had been curious. I mean, you know, they've seen it all, but I guess he would just, you know, ask, well, what was that? What was that about? And she said, it's a Buddhist temple and yada, yada. And then he had this question. He asked her, he said, well, Buddhists don't believe in God, right? And her reply was that, well, we don't believe in a God that's separate from us. And I don't know what the guy's reaction was, and I don't even know if that's a quote-unquote good answer or not, but it sure stuck with me, and I've even used it myself in similar situations. It seems to work. As a kid, I went to church, and my parents didn't make me. I chose it. I mean, I knew something was not right, and it was the mid-60s, and there was a little town in Northern California, and there weren't many options. But I was seeking some answers, so I went to church. And later on, as a young teenager, I got into like a born-again thing, and it was more serious. And for me, it was a positive experience. I have good memories. I have no regrets from that. It kind of opened up in a few places. But decades later, when I came to Zen and I'm at ZCLA, I just kind of figured from my projective view of what Zen was that any kind of religious faith I was going to have to hide. I mean, don't show that part. That's not Zen. I was projecting all this, you know, this kind of grim, cynical, world-weary thing, and there was a little bit of that there until Nyogen showed up. I had this Zinger quote to end with, and it was from the Diamond Sutra, and I picked it out this morning. But I looked at it again this afternoon, and I guess I was really flying this morning because I read it again, and it was like, oh, man, I can't even, like, tie this in. It was just like, it was cool, but I can't tie it in. So let me read just one sentence that I already quoted, but I want to read it again. Thus, although Buddhism speaks of an endless universe, its main concern is none other than our own mind. In short, nothing exists outside of ourselves. I had a little comment by a Sangha that went with that quote that I'm not quoting, but I kind of still like it, and it says, it is taught like thus because we cling to words.